corporation or a polyglot conglomerate. It's a remarkably effective collection of different people who are happy to see themselves first and foremost as Brazilians. The process of integration has fostered one of Brazil's most marked characteristics, tolerance. There are others, such as loud music and very cold beer, a soft and languid delivery which makes them sound as if they've just woken up, and a feeling among the majority of Brazilians that the work-life balance should definitely be weighted on the side of life. There's a famous old Brazilian saying, para inglês ver, for the English to see. It's been wryly defined as the difference between legal requirement and actual behaviour, and for many Brazilians, this relaxed attitude to the law is still a guiding principle. But especially in the more Europeanised south of the country, where the economic boom is being managed, I detect that times and national stereotypes may be changing. With BRIC prosperity comes responsibility, a strong voice in the world economy, a seat on the UN Security Council, perhaps. And this, some think, demands a new discipline, a new work ethic. The Brazil of beach and carnival is also a Brazil of banks and billionaires. Will it, I wonder, become more like the Western world, wealthy and worried? I hope not. Socrates, the footballer, not the philosopher, described his fellow Brazilians as a shrewd, vain, happy people. This certainly accords with my own observations, and I can't think of any other nation that it could apply to. Welcome to Brazil. Part 1. Amazonia and Brasilia. Day 1. Demini, Roraima. The dogs are the first to welcome us. As the pilot, Francisco, eases our plane to a halt at the end of the bumpy grass runway, they race towards us, roused to a frenzy of barking and capering by the sound of the engine and the arrival of an interloper. Behind them, figures appear at the doors of the two or three buildings that comprise Demini Airstrip. Here in the remote rainforest of northwest Brazil, any arrival from the sky is greeted with expectation. There are no roads that lead here, or even a navigable river. Aeroplanes are the lifeline to the outside world. At the end of the airstrip are refueling facilities and a small clinic staffed by nurses on a monthly roster. There's a kitchen and communications equipment and some fresh coffee to greet us. As we unload, figures begin to emerge from a narrow path that leads out of the forest. First come curious little boys in long red shorts, looking with their black hair, dark eyes, and light brown skin, as if they might have stepped straight from the other side of the Pacific, Indonesia or even China. They're followed, a little more warily, by young girls, and with them older women, most of whom wear nothing but a brief, decorated red apron round their waists. The young men, like young men anywhere, make an entrance of self-conscious swagger. They carry bows and very long bamboo arrows with thorn-sharp wooden points. As the women stand and watch from beneath the shady eaves of the clinic, the men gather round, appraising us curiously. Sensing I might make a good foil, one of them arches back his bow and sends an arrow flying high into the air. Then he gives me his bow and bids me do the same. Amidst much chortling, I unleash one of the arrows, which thuds into the ground about 5 metres away. They seem to like me for having a go. When I take out my notebook, they gather round it with great interest. The man with the bow asks for my pen and writes something in my book, in his own language, in fluent longhand. Another likes my straw hat and pops it on his head as unself-consciously as an MCC member on a hot day at Lord's. I'm quite relieved by their affability, for my new friends are from the Yanomami tribe and have a history of being fearless and often ferocious fighters. The Yanomami are one of 200 or so indigenous tribes still left from the days when the first Europeans set foot in the country. There were estimated to be some 5 million Indians in Brazil when the Portuguese began to settle here early in the 16th century. Today, after the depredations of slavery, disease, and loss of land to loggers, farmers, and miners, they number no more than 300,000.